Yes, welcome. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. That's unnecessary. Unnecessary. Yeah. Hey, really quick though, turn to maybe someone around you and ask them, hey, what are some traditions that you have for Mother's Day? Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. What traditions do you celebrate? All right. Wow, you guys really took to that well. Yeah. Okay, obviously, your guys' tradition, let's go ahead and bring it back. Obviously, your guys' tradition is coming to church, which is exciting. But how many people, raise your hand if you heard, I get breakfast in bed. Anybody breakfast in bed? We had a couple last service, but nobody here. Maybe, okay. Yeah, yeah. I got you breakfast in bed. How many people are like, I get to go to any restaurant I want so I don't have to cook or clean? You're restaurant people? Yeah, a couple of you for dinner. That means the rest of you must be brunch people. How many brunch then? The rest of you don't celebrate Mother's Day, apparently. We fast during Mother's Day. Yeah. So it's interesting to think like, some things culturally are hard for Christians to get behind, but Mother's Day is not one of those. We want to celebrate moms. We want to encourage them. We want to thank them for what they do. And when you start to dig deeper into Mother's Day and look at what other countries do and how they celebrate it, whether they wear carnations or even in Mexico, I read that that mothers get woken up with a mariachi band. I'm not sure if that's like yay, or is this like a hard prank? Like, yeah, I'm not sure why they would want that, but sometimes they commission a mariachi band and they get to sing their favorite song. How wild would that be? Yeah, we might start that in our house. Sorry, Brooke. but at Believers Fellowship, we have a fun tradition on Mother's Day where we get a chance to spend the day talking about what it is to do baby dedications. So we get to welcome all of the newest members of our church family into our midst and pray for them. And we get a chance to remind the parents of their amazing opportunity and ask them to pledge to committing their kids to the Lord and committing to raising them in the Lord. So what does that look like for us as a church, though, is what I want to talk about for a little bit before we dedicate these new members of our family to the Lord. Because we dedicate these babies, we see these parents commit, and maybe some of you have done this before, but raising a child in the Lord is not just, I mean, it's the biggest job for the parents, but it takes a true community of Jesus followers to come alongside them. So this morning I want to remind us the seriousness of what it takes to be a church and a congregation that helps and partners raising the next generation. Because I came across this verse a couple weeks ago, and it kind of shook me a little bit. There's a verse in the book of Judges, chapter 2, and Judges is right after Joshua, if you know your Bible history and all the, you know, Genesis, Exodus, all the books in order. So it goes Deuteronomy, Moses dies, passes the mantle to Joshua. Joshua takes up that mantle and says, I will follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord, right? He was a man of God, faithful, willing to go where God would lead him and be true to that. But after Joshua passed away, we get to Judges chapter 2. And there's this kind of scary verse for a pastor, and maybe I'm overreacting, but here's what it says. And all that generation, that'd be Joshua's generation, also were gathered to their fathers, which is a nice way to say they passed on, gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. So Joshua and his generation passed away, and there arose another generation who did not know the Lord. They did not know what God had done for Israel. Think of how sobering that is. An entire generation didn't know the Lord. What the heck, right? And so I'm sobered as I read that, and I'm thinking, how can we put a flag on the ground and say, that's not going to happen for the generation coming after us, right? How can we as a church, as a body of Christ, how can we pool together and say that will not happen, not on our watch, right? So I want to remind you of some ways that we can truly partner with God and partner with these new parents who are dedicating their children so that that generation not only grows up to know the Lord, but grows up to have their identity rooted in Christ and serve the Lord and be a part of something bigger than themselves. So a couple things that I was thinking about, how can we as a church partner with these new parents? Well, the first thing I would encourage us to do is if we are going to raise up a generation that knows the Lord, we have to know the Lord ourselves. Right? We have to look in the mirror. The man in the mirror. No, I won't do that. But we have to look in the mirror and say, how am I doing in my walk with God? Just like the airlines, you know, hopefully those oxygen things will never come down, but we know what to do if they do because we've seen the spiel, right? If the oxygen comes down, our instinct will be like, get it on my kid. But they say, no, don't do that. Put it on yourself first and then help the child next to you. That's the same with our walk with the Lord. We need to grow in our relationship first and foremost. Take care of your own heart, own your faith, own your identity, and then you're able to help that next generation. So own your faith. Commit to coming on Sundays. Commit to growing. Men, come to the men's breakfast, okay? 7:30, how many people were like, men's breakfast, yeah. 7:30, Saturday. Right? That kind of, like, I also thought that. However, when we have other things to do, we still can go home and get yard work done. That's great. But don't let that time scare you away. Men, we need to step up. We need to find community. We need to model vulnerability and authenticity. Can we please do this? The women are a little ahead of us in this. Emily does an amazing job putting on events and encouraging women to grow. Men, let's step up. Let's get involved, all right? So, amen. So we need to do that so your wife doesn't volunteer you, okay? It would be so cool to be like, oh, hey, babe, I signed up for the men's breakfast before you did for me. Before you signed me up, I signed myself up. So let's get involved. Let's get plugged in. Let's grow ourselves. It goes for all of us. We need to be modeling that, what it looks like to grow in our relationship. The other thing I would encourage us to do, if we want to raise a generation that not only knows the Lord, but has their identity rooted in him, we need to model serving. Okay, some of us have gotten used to, especially coming out of COVID or coming out of whatever, we've gotten used to coming to church and just consuming. But we need to model what it looks like to serve. And that could be outside of the church walls or it could be in the church walls. Where there are some big needs that we have when it comes to serving, and especially serving the next generation. Did you know that last Sunday we had 180 under 14-year-olds over on that side of the building? Yeah, great, that is awesome. There are churches in America that are not even that big, and we have 180, 14 and under. Okay, that's like more than in this room right now, and we have like 3 or 4 people over there. No, I'm just kidding. We have more than that. We do have more than that. However, there is a need for shepherds, for people to model their faith, to teach the young ones, to be present with them consistently, to help a young one so that the teacher can serve and teach the truth of God at that young age. There is a need there. There's a need for high school mentors. You were influenced by somebody when you were in high school or middle school or a child. It's time maybe to pray about how can you start stepping up and serve, and so that generation doesn't just see consumers, they see people who are modeling their faith, growing in their faith, and serving consistently. So I encourage you guys, find a place to serve, step up. There is a need, find the need, okay? You guys are here on a Sunday. What if you got here early and helped out 9 a.m. and then went to church at 11? Is that possible? Start looking at your schedule. Look at Sundays a little different. Maybe not on Mother's Day. We have a ton of guys over there right now. I love seeing that, teaching in the Woodland Room, giving their moms a break. So let's step up and help them out. Another way that as a church we can get behind this generation and support these parents who are dedicating their children to the Lord today is learn how to parent beyond your capacity. Okay, that's a book title that we did with our life group years ago. We were all young parents and we're like, okay, we need a parent beyond our capacity. What does that mean? It means that I need to have people in my life, in my community that I trust to help raise my kids. okay? I need people to call my kids out. One of my favorite stories in the book was where this guy, he had a teenage son, and his teenage son was starting to date, and he came home and slammed the door, and maybe the date didn't go as well, and the dad noticed, and he walked into his son's room. He's like, hey, you want to talk about it? And the natural response was, no, I do not. So he had to figure out, he's like, okay, I understand you don't want to talk about it right now, but eventually I do want to talk about how you're doing and how the date went and all that. But if you can't talk to me, he said this to his son, he said, who can you talk to? And the son thought about it, and he said, I can talk to Kevin. Kevin is his small group leader at church. Kevin is in his life as a guy that the author trusted this man to influence his son. Because when the dad couldn't parent in that moment, didn't have that opportunity, he was able to go beyond his capacity and have someone, another manly God, speak into his kid's life. This is our community right here. We have opportunities to speak into each other's lives and speak into the lives of their families. And it requires a shift in thinking, okay? I was hired on here to be a youth pastor almost 17 years ago. And when I got here, I was like, all right, working with the youth, let's go. Most important, critical time of their lives. And I saw them for like 2 hours a week. And their parents saw them for the other 136 hours. Don't check the math on that. But the other rest of the week, I saw them for 2 hours. And I'm thinking, I'm going to make a huge difference. I had to shift my thinking in a couple ways. One, I had to shift my thinking to the parents are going to have a way bigger influence in their lives than I am. I'm here to help them parent beyond their capacity. I'm here to partner with them and reinforce those values at home. But now I'm also here, I'm shifting my mindset, and I shifted it to I need to equip, train, and resource the parents to be the main spiritual influence in their kids' lives, and I need to train other people to be on the lookout and be that community for these kids. And I needed to shift my identity from looking only at the youth that were in front of me to everybody. Because I wish I was, as a 25-year-old youth pastor, I wish I looked around the church and saw the babies that were all born. And there were many, just like there are many today, 180, or praise God. But I wished I looked at these little infants and said, I'm going to have these kids in my youth group someday. What can I do now to influence these kids and partner with these parents to raise them up so they don't forget the Lord? So I had to shift. And those kids are 17 now. Like they're driving around. And I'm like, I wish I would have done so much more when they were younger and get involved and serve and grow and model even at that young age. We can do that together. We can model that. We can serve. We can help these parents parent beyond their capacity. And then the last one that we need to, as a church, support these parents. And by the way, if you are dedicating a child today and you have other children in the Woodland Room or the nurseries, feel free to go get them now, and then we'll invite you up in just a moment. But the other thing that we can do to partner with these young families, and what I would challenge them to do, is to rethink the rhythms of their life. What rhythms are in your life right now? Deuteronomy 6:5, a very famous verse, but it's famous for a reason. This is known as the Shema. The Israelites, they would say this multiple times a day. It carried over to Jesus' day. The greatest command that the Lord gave the people of God is in this, Deuteronomy 6:5. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. These words I command you shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Did you hear the rhythms in there? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, take care of your own faith, and then teach them diligently to the next generation. And that includes changing your rhythms. Notice, when you walk by the way, modern day equivalent, when you're in the car, you have a captive audience. They cannot leave you. It's not safe for them to just unbuckle and like, I'm out. No. You can talk about your faith in the car. You can talk about your faith, how you're growing. You can ask them questions. Yeah, you can listen to the radio, but then you pause the radio and say, did you hear that? What are they talking about? How does that influence our faith? You can have those spiritual conversations on the way in the car. And then the other one, when you sit at the table, right? Create that rhythm. It's okay to talk about God more than just rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, okay? You can have that conversation with them. You can start your rhythm. And then when you invite these families into your home, the rhythm is already in place. It's not like, it's time to talk about Jesus now and awkwardly because you never do it. No, it's like, hey, Where'd you see God working today? You can create those rhythms so that when you invite people in, you model that, you encourage them, you challenge them. And then when you lie down and when you rise up, right? Opportunities when you lie down. Talk about real life. You're the counselor in the evening, and you can talk about what God's doing in their lives, and they're more vulnerable. Kids are more open to talk when you know the lights are down and you're just sitting there praying and you're talking about life, right? Hey, how is it going? And then when you rise up, you're the coach, you're the motivator, you're the, hey, think about Jesus today, and you have breakfast together, and you push them out the door, and it's a little note in their lunchbox or whatever. We can change our rhythms so that it models what it is to know the Lord, what it is to serve the Lord, what it is to help these young families grow in their faith and help them raise their kids so that the generation coming up doesn't forget the Lord. So that's our job as a church. We need to create this atmosphere. And you guys are already doing this. I'm just reminding you. Many of you are already doing this. I'm just reminding you to help us all get along through these hard seasons and good seasons. But now we get a chance to meet some new faces amongst us. So if you're dedicating a child this morning, feel free to come on over here and you can walk up the stage and then we can meet your beautiful family. This is a fun time, you guys. This is a good day. Notice how cute the babies are, and I wanted the men to dress like their kids. Yeah, right over here, right over here. Can you imagine, like, shorts and overalls? Like, no, cannot. Yeah, come on over right here. So let's take an opportunity to meet these families, and then we get a chance to ask them some questions and pray for them. So here we have Jamie and Clinton with Zephaniah. How beautiful is that? From the prophet Zephaniah. So Zephaniah's going to grow up and she's going to be telling it. Yeah. They chose a verse to read over her and just pray back the scripture to the Lord. And they chose Psalm 127. Look, children are the heritage of Yahweh. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with the enemies at the gate. What a blessing Zephaniah is, and she will be. We have Hayden Christopher right over here. This is Austin and Lorelei. This is Hayden. Everyone said, hello, Hayden, in a soft voice. Yeah. A verse for Hayden is Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous, the truth you were taught. Let your life overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. Let your life overflow. And we have a couple of gifts for these young ones as well. Zephaniah, this is a little gift for you guys to start off right. Oh, I'm so glad I don't hold babies because that could have happened on my watch. This is Jonathan and Raya. And here we have little Mark and the verse they chose for Mark is Joshua 24:15, which says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And here we have Felicia and Bill with little Aria. And this, our newest member of the family, is Charlotte Gabrielle, thank you. And Ephesians 3:17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure and fullness of God. Amen. Amen. And if you're curious what's in here, there are Bibles for you. Bibles for you guys to start reading at night to create those rhythms. And then lastly, this is Banks Donovan and Holly and Neil and little Kira here. And they chose a verse for Banks. It is Romans 15:13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful verse and a beautiful prayer for Banks. Yes. Believers Fellowship, this is your new family right here. How exciting is this? These are the kids that you get a chance to influence, and you get a chance to partner with these parents. Let's meet our newest member. This is Teague Mathias. Yeah, Teague is named as a poet or philosopher, Mathias meaning gift of God, and a verse that they've chosen to read over Teague comes from Ephesians 2:10. This is Michael and Hillary, by the way, and little Everett. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What an opportunity that we can look ahead and see what T gets to do in his life, to walk in God's good works. Amen for that. This is Hav and Ian, and they've got two kids they're going to dedicate today. Kyla Lee and Bailey Joan. So Kyla and Bailey, and a couple of verses that they've chosen for them. Kyla's verse that they want to read over her is, "You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." And for Bailey, they've chosen to read Galatians 5:13 as well. So both of that, the same verse for both kids, to serve one another in love. They have the freedom to do what they need to do in life, but use that freedom to serve. I love that. We'll continue to pray for that. And there are two gifts, I believe, for them. We have a gift for them as well, a children's Bible and another book as well. This is Sarah and Nikki. And it was Nick, excuse me, Nick.
Only Johnny and my wife.
Oh, wow. That's a good company. We've got Gracie and Dom. So Gracelyn Love and Dominic James. And for Gracelyn, they've chosen 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God gave us the spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." And then for Dom, we have Deuteronomy 6:5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here you go. There you go. And then we've got little Emma Joy. This is Brent and Elaine, Nathan and James, and Emma Joy. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen. And then we've got Dan and Tara down here. And this is little Bonnie. 1 Samuel 1:27 says, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for him." What a beautiful gift Bonnie is for you guys. Amen. We have an opportunity, parents, to affirm the gift of these children that they are from the Lord. So I'm going to read a series of affirmations, and if you agree with them, say, "We do." Well, I have to read them first. Yes. You realize I can say anything right now that I want. Yeah. "We will serve in children's ministry every Sunday." He said we do. Tell Heidi. But this is a very serious charge, to raise our kids in the Lord. So don't take these affirmations lightly. As a pastor, I want to be here for you. As the church, we want to support you in as many ways as we can. Parents, do you receive these children with gratitude as God's gift to you and your family? Do you commit yourselves to strengthening your marriage and creating a home in which your child can grow in his or her faith? Do you commit to growing in your own faith, recognizing that your child learns so much about God and his ways by watching what you are doing? Do you commit to maintaining a faith-filled home in which Jesus is not just honored on Sunday, but in which all of your family's decisions are made for the glory of God? And finally, do you commit to being parents of patience and grace, recognizing that parenting is not an 18-year commitment, but a lifelong journey that you will do some things right and you will make mistakes, and that each day you get a chance to begin again.
Thank you.
Amen. Church, will you stand with me? And will you make some pledges and promises to this family, to these families, as we raise these newest members of our church in the Lord? Church, if you agree with this pledge, will you also say, "We do," at the end of it? Do you pledge to pray for these little ones as often as you think of them? And do you pledge to help these parents live up to these promises that they've made today? If so, say, "We do." And we will hold you to that. Let me pray as we dedicate these children to the Lord. Father God, we dedicate these children to you. We trust that you love them even more than you love us. Even more than we love them. Will you guide these parents and this congregation to lovingly raise up these children in your name, in the hope that they will respond to you in your grace and follow you forever? Father, we give these children to you. We partner with these parents. We are so excited to see them grow. We are so excited to model what it looks like to live as a child of God. Will you help us to remind them of their identity? Will you help us to be here for them when they need it? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys may be seated, and you guys may be seated as well. Welcome them to the family. One last note before we close. In a moment, we're going to have communion. We'll be able to respond to what God's doing in our hearts. But I want to remind you one more thing. Our job as a church, you guys may be seated for now. Our job as a church is to grow in our own faith. Our job as a church is to model what it looks like to be a servant-hearted follower of Jesus. Our job as a church to these families is to parent, let them parent beyond their capacity, be available for them, and to help them build those rhythms. But here's the difference here's what I want to challenge us as we leave today. When we dedicate these children to the Lord, when we welcome them to be a part of our family, it doesn't give us the right to judge them when they make mistakes. These kids are going to grow up, and you will be tempted to pass judgment. But discipleship isn't judgment. Judgment is judgment. Discipleship is looking at when these kids are struggling, when these families are having a hard time, when their marriages are on the rocks. Discipleship is entering into their lives and saying, "Hey, I pledge to be here for you, and I'm going to help you through this. I will withhold my judgment, and I will instead walk with you through these hard times." Because that's what somebody did for us. We are here today as a product of a community that surrounded our lives. We are here today as a product of a community that said, "You know what? When you're struggling, we'll be there for you. We won't judge, we'll disciple." And that's our challenge to us as we welcome these new kids into our family. That's our challenge to us as they grow up and make mistakes, to disciple them and be there for them. And every single week, we are reminded of the grace and the lack of judgment, because the Lord did not come to judge the world, but to forgive the world. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So every single week, we get a chance to remind ourselves that, hey, Jesus died on the cross so that we might continue to grow in our faith in him. Jesus died on the cross that we can have forgiveness of our sins and be free of the guilt and shame. Jesus died on the cross that we might have relationship with him, and our identity shifts from what the world views us as, and it shifts to a child of God. So that's what we remember every single week when we come to the cross. That's what happens when we come to these tables. In a moment, we'll have an opportunity to come to the table. There'll be tables in the back. There'll be tables all around the room. You'll have a chance to go and take the bread and dip it in the cup and remember what Jesus did for us. The forgiveness that is offered in his name. Even when we make mistakes, we continue to ask forgiveness, and he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And we can do the same for these little ones. So as you take communion today, I challenge you, how are you doing in your walk with God? Are you modeling what it looks like to be a child of God? Are you modeling that forgiveness in your own life? Start it today and continue that on. If you need prayer today, we would love to pray for you. I'll be over here in the back. You met Dave Nowotenski. Earlier this morning, he's one of our deacons here. He gave the announcements. He's willing to pray for you. He'll be back here by the offering box. Beth Moss, part of our women's prayer team, will be over here by this offering box, and I'll be in the other corner. Big or small, come. If you're struggling in your faith, if you've got questions or doubts, if you want to know how to grow in your faith, we will be praying for you, not just this morning, but throughout our entire week. We'll add you to the list. But all of us have an opportunity to respond to what God's doing in our lives. How are we growing? How are we receiving that forgiveness? Let's stand and come to the table together. Let me pray for us, and then we'll come to the table and respond to what God's doing. 1 Corinthians says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This is our proclaiming what Jesus has done. This is our remembering and recognizing what Jesus has done in our lives and will continue to do in the lives of the people around us. Let me pray, and then we'll come to the table. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouragement of seeing these families commit their children to you, dedicate and make promises to raise them up. Father, I thank you for this church, that we also can make promises to do our best to disciple these young people, to withhold judgment, and to trust that you are not finished with them, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of trial. You are not done with their story, just as you are not done with our story. Father, will you continue to give us opportunities to be a community of vulnerability and authenticity? Will you continue to give us opportunities to be discipled and make disciples? Lord, we trust you. We love you. Thank you for the cross that leads to forgiveness, for the cross that leads to a right relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your time coming to the table. Spend some time in prayer. And when you're ready, find your way in. Don't feel bad that you're moving around people. We just want to take our time and respond to what God's doing. So come to the table, church.